Okay, everybody, thanks for tuning in. This is Dr. Kay Dureiraj. For those of you guys who don't know me, I am a facial plastic surgeon and a lover of beauty. I'm in Los Angeles, California, in beautiful Pasadena, and you might know me from my Instagram, Beauty by Dr. Kay. Check me out. I do lots of cutting-edge techniques for injectables, fillers, surgery, skincare, the works. So this is a podcast that's designed to help you learn everything you need to know to stay beautiful, vital, and healthy. This is all about the science and the tools and technology you can use to look your best. And I'm excited to come to you today with our office talk and happy to introduce all the members of my amazing staff. And listen in as we kind of like shoot the breeze and get the inside scoop on what happens in a plastic surgeon's office. Today we're going to talk about under eye filler, chemical peels for beautifying, and creative uses of Botox. So I know you guys are going to learn a lot. And go ahead and let's introduce our first staff member, Nurse Val, famous Nurse Val.
Oh, that's me. Yes, I'm Nurse Val. My name is Valerie
for all
legal purposes. I was in the Navy for 8 years. I was stationed in Norfolk, Virginia. I had a great time. I loved it. I wish I could go back, but I do have an 11-year-old daughter who is definitely against me going back in the military. But I got out, I did my RN, and this is where I ended up, being Dr. K's nurse manager. So this is an awesome experience for me, learning how to manage an office.
My right-hand man.
And, you know,
co-captain of my ship.
She is growing so much. Now, I've been here for almost 2 years, and in those 2 years, her clientele has tripled.
It's been a wild ride.
It has. It sure has. And we still have a couple of loops to go to. It's going to be so much fun.
So we're having a blast together. I'm so glad to have Val as my co-captain on this journey of the wild ride that we've grown with Instagram. And we're just riding this fun wave of doing. I love the fact that we can do all these creative things that we help people look beautiful and look great and feel good, but also get to do some creative fun stuff like videoing and a podcast and writing a book.
Yeah, this has been fun.
Yay. And today we're going to also introduce one of the members of our staff, Alexandra Lee.
Yay!
Alex. I'm Alex. I am a recent UCLA grad. I majored in biology. I joined Dr. K's staff in September after studying abroad. Her Instagram actually came up while I was in Spain, and I was like, whoa, I shadowed Dr. K a few years ago. I should reach out to her. And so that's how I ended up here.
Wow. I did not know that.
I did not know that you were in Spain either.
I was in Spain.
You didn't know that she shadowed you?
No, I know she shadowed me once. But
I didn't know that. I actually remember one day, it was last summer, when we had a little bit of a change of staff. And all of a sudden, Alex showed up, and I was like, hi, who the hell are you? And but she was super smart. You know, after I got past all the food that was in her teeth, it was a great relationship. No, just kidding. Alex is a really sweet lady. The only reason I mentioned that was because the first couple of times, like in the first week, every time I spoke to Alex, she had like
those were our first couple conversations for sure.
Yeah, it was definitely like, hey, Alex, yes, you have spinach in your teeth.
Well, she's drinking green juice every single morning.
Every morning she does.
I'm proud of her. So she motivates me. I'm always like, damn, she came with her green juice. Where's mine?
I can. Yeah, I mean, I'm not envious. Sometimes it just. I can't. I'm like, oh, she's
Val has her black coffee.
My black coffee.
My coffee black comes mud. After the green juice.
I have green juice every single morning too, except I'm lazy and I do a powdered green. And then I do lemon juice in there and a spoon of turmeric and a sprinkle of pepper because it activates the turmeric antioxidant.
I should try the turmeric thing.
And I put a spoon of collagen powder. Oh. So that's like my morning cocktail for those of you guys who know me. I'm really into healthy, and I don't get to eat much and drink much during the day.
No. I can attest to this. She does not.
So that's like my go in the morning. I just gulp a whole thing of that, and it really hydrates. So I'm really into green juice. Val, on the other hand, goes to Buffalo Wild Wings.
You know what?
Every week.
I just, when you have your favorite waitress that works there, and then they just treat you like, oh, I already know what she wants. I already know what she's going to drink.
She hooks you up.
Yeah.
With the Wild Wings.
You know, you're allowed 1 week to have a cheat meal.
Yes. There you go.
There's my cheat meal.
I wanted to just give a shout out to Alex because she's so humble, and she does not talk about how great she is. But just so you guys know,
let's talk about how great Alex is.
Brilliant girl. She's applying to medical school, and she's graduating from. She graduated already from UCLA with an amazing GPA and MCAT scores.
Really? And well, I don't know because she doesn't talk about it often. But I do know that she is applying to medical school. She's very bright.
I feel like talking about it jinxes me, which is why I don't talk about it.
That's right. For those of you on directors of admission board at UCLA, USC, La Melinda, we need you to come through for this girl.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Need all the help I can get.
So it's so hard to become a doctor in this day and age, and I get Instagram questions all the time about what does it take to be a doctor or do something like what I'm doing. And it's 4 years of college, a really high GPA. You had to do research, right?
I did do research.
What was your research about?
I did research in neuro-ophthalmology. We studied a disease that basically causes spontaneous blindness in teens, which is, you know, kind of tragic.
Very.
So it was really cool
What's
research.
What's the disease?
Leber's hereditary optic neuropathy.
Wow. And you worked with one of these amazing professors at USC.
I did. Dr. Seydoun.
Yes. And those of you that want to go into medical school or a competitive residency or surgical specialty, you need to start doing your research early, and you need to find, you know, someone who is in a medical lab or a setting where they do clinical research. Reach out to them and just go volunteer and work for free or get a paid position. But start research in undergrad years. So that's important.
I'm so proud. We have all these very bright young people in our office.
We do.
Omar, Christina, Alex, Emily. Wow.
Amazing. So these, awesome. Alex has single-handedly helped me grow our Instagram. I would say like 40,000 followers more.
Very creative.
Very creative. Yes.
Thank you.
So it makes everything look so fun.
She's responsible for all the cuteness.
All the fun in the office.
All the cute writing.
So shout out to Alex, and you guys definitely send us your questions on how to be a good student, how to get into med school. And if you want a counselor, she'll read your application for you, right?
I will. I'll do it. I guess.
Yep. Yes. Yes,
sure.
I will.
So on to our topics for the day. So we thought we'd talk about under eye filler and creative uses of Botox. So without further ado, so under eye filler, for those of you guys who haven't heard of it, it's kind of like a miracle. If you have dark under eye circles and you've always had to wear concealer, you know how hard it is to look fresh, right? You know.
Yes.
I mean, I'm fresh myself, so
she's fresh.
I don't know.
I personally have had under eye filler, and I can tell you that it is like life changing because you instantly look like you just had 3 weeks of vacation and you've slept really good. And I personally was getting sick of people telling me, like, are you okay? You look so tired. Like, I'd go to the cafeteria, and the cafeteria checkout lady, my friend, would say, like, Doctora, you look so tired. Like, what happened? Were you up all night? And I would be, like, in my head, damn it, I slept 8 hours, and I did my makeup. I'm like, geez, I just can't get rid of the tired.
Well, so now it's just, like, the polite way to say, like, whoa, you look like shit. Yeah. What happened? You look like you got beat with a stick.
So, I mean, the first time I did under eye filler, it was like maybe a couple years ago, and now I pretty much do about every 9 months or so, only one syringe, about a half a syringe under each eye, and you have to see a really great injector. This is such a dangerous area. So,
So
first things first, safety first. Always, you guys, don't go to some medi spa. I say this a lot. Find an experienced injector. Because it's your eyes, there are risks involved. And not only just bruising.
High risks.
Like, there have been case reports of blindness. We don't ever want to scare anybody. There's been blindness associated with lip injections. But when you see an experienced injector, they'll use a tool called a cannula. That's extremely, extremely safe way to do filler. So that's super important. Val, how do you explain a cannula to patients?
I usually tell patients, I talk to them about the technique where the doctor will go in with a little needle, a little 27 gauge, 25 gauge needle. She'll make a little hole, and then she inserts the blunt tip needle. Now, I tell them that the needles, I'm sorry, cannulas, I tell them that the needles have sharp edges, and those are really easy to sever blood vessels under the eyes. So when she goes in with a cannula, and kind of like the blunt tip needle just kind of moves around the vessels, keeping them intact so you do less bleeding and bruising and stuff like that. And sometimes when there's one that's opened, not a like a longer one, but like a shorter cannula, I can show them that. Like I think I used to have one where I opened it and I showed a patient, and I was able to show them how flexible it is and how it doesn't hurt, and so they can see how it moves around. But I've since lost that one.
Yeah, so. The easy way to describe it. So a needle is sharp at the end, mm-hmm. and a cannula is blunt. You can literally touch it, and it won't poke a hole in your glove. It won't make you bleed if you touch it. Needles, you touch the tip, you will bleed. So same concept. If you touch, you know, any of the under eye vessels, it just pushes things out of the way. So that's the best technique. And then under eye filler is not for everyone. So one thing, if you have fat bags under your eye, you know this because you see a little puffiness, you see bags. One quick test is if you close your eye, push on it, and look in the mirror. If you see bulging tissue coming out, like kind of little bullfrog bulge, that is the orbital fat. That area should never, ever be injected because, number one, high risk of blindness. Number two, filler gets real lumpy there, and number three, it makes all the fat swell, so in trying to make it better, it can actually make it worse. So we call that under eye area where we can inject the tear trough, and that's the hollow where you used to have nice juicy facial fat that was youthful, and instead that fat's kind of thinning, falling, you know, deflating. Filler is basically a way to refill that. Just makes you smooth and really lights up the under eyes, right?
I'm sorry. I'm laughing here because we were just talking about all the healthy choices we have. And then I look down and there's M&Ms and lemon heads and cherry heads and red heads.
This is podcast candy, Val. I got to keep my energy up.
This is healthy candy, the green candies. Yes. We're only eating the green M&Ms.
Our hospital has like the cutest gift shop, and they have all the really old original candies like lemon heads and red hots, my favorites.
Those are awesome.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing that millennial people don't know about, but we'll teach them.
Old-fashioned candy. I ate lemon heads as a kid.
You have?
I did. I've never seen cherry heads though.
I haven't either, actually. That's new for me.
Those are my favorites.
So back to under eyes. So a couple things you guys should know. Like when you pull on your skin and you pull it down away from your eye area, if you see pigment that's tattooed into the skin, you have darkness related to melanin being deposited under the eyes. So that's super important because we can bleach that with bleaching pads, chemical peels, and also laser treatments. So, so if you're dark and hollow under your eyes, it's not always a filler issue. Sometimes it's a need for using an under eye treatment like a bleaching pad. And I use like 10% hydroquinone, 6-8 or 10% is what we use. And that is really effective. And then, Alex, do you know what else causes under eye darkness? Bogginess?
Under eye darkness besides just sleep deprivation?
That's a good one. Yeah, that's for sure. Yes, the other main thing would be like allergies.
Allergies.
Yes. Dark under eyes. They're called allergy shiners.
Allergic shiners. Yeah, we see a ton of patients who have allergies that are pretty much undiagnosed. They don't realize that their nose is stuffy all the time. And you all have friends like this. They're always talking all nasally and carrying a Kleenex all the time. Mm-hmm. So those are nasal allergy sufferers. And very often when your nose is juicy, watery, and stuffy, you get bogginess and under eye veins that kind of pool. And you get the bluish discoloration under your eyes. So that's what makes you have kind of dark circles as well. So one quick thing you guys can do at home, take your allergy pill like a Zyrtec or Claritin on a daily basis for 2 or 3 weeks, and you'll be surprised how much your under eyes improve with just that. Mm. Under eye cream is my other pet peeve. This is for you, Alex, starting at age 20. Are you using a good eye cream?
I'm using yours.
Yay.
I'm using Revitalize.
I didn't tell her to say that.
I really, truly am using Dr. K's eye cream.
I love that. If I had known better, I would have started under eye cream at age 20 also, because that is the thinnest skin in your body. And your heavy cheeks pull down on your under eye and cause stretching and laxity there. And remember your eye, the human eye blinks how many times a day, Val? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
20,000 times a day. And I know because I looked this up.
just Googled it. Her phone is in her hand now.
But 20,000 times a day. So repetitive crinkling around the eye creates crow's feet, creates fine lines, and just makes that tissue wear out fast. So you want a Retin-A type of cream. So my eye cream is one of the few eye creams that has all trans retinol in it. And that's really important to build padding around that delicate tissue. And then it has green tea polyphenols, which are really soothing, and vitamin K and arnica, which are excellent for discoloration and just diminishing darkness. And then lastly, you would go to filler. I think we get this question a lot in the rooms with patients, right? So Nurse Val, let's say I'm a patient who has really dark hollow under eyes and I'm coming in, I'm really nervous. How does Dr. K decide what to use under my eyes?
She uses her special x-ray vision to take a look and see what it's going to need to fill that void in your eyes.
Yes, that's right.
No, we are lucky enough to work with three different aesthetics companies. So we have a wide variety of fillers that we can use to fill the tear trough area or to even camouflage the look that that's bothering the patient. So, I mean, it can be anything from Restylane Live to Bellotero to Volbella, which I think we're kind of moving away from Refine. There's so many syringes, and it's just definitely
different things out there.
Different things out there that I just definitely recommend people to come in and have Dr. K do like a little assessment, because a lot of it depends on, you know, how thin your skin is under your eyes and the volume that we're trying to fill. So.
That's so true. And then we get pictures all the time, right, Alex? Patients will email Alex and ask her literally like,
how do I fix this?
Can you tell me what to do with these eyes?
The answer is usually under eye filler. I feel like all of the pictures they send could pretty easily be fixed by your hand, Dr. K.
Yeah, and I would tell patients in general, mostly you need one syringe under each eye because a syringe doesn't cover a lot of volume. It's syringes literally like a fifth of a teaspoon. Mm-hmm. And if you think of a plastic teaspoon and you hold that under your eye, like that's about the size of the under eye. Like, you know, half a teaspoon under each eye would be two syringes under each eye, actually. So I start conservatively very often with just one syringe of filler. Half under each side.
Under each eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that really avoids problems of looking overfilled and looking kind of bloaty, because I think that's such a common look these days when you go to parties and see women looking overfilled in LA anyway.
Here's the thing. We tell patients, you know, for about, you know, 4 to 7 days, try to stay away from the salty foods.
And alcohol. We talk
for
about alcohol every single podcast,
I
think. Yes.
I think it's time to have some while we're doing a podcast then.
We need a wine podcast, yes.
That would be so much fun.
Antioxidant podcast.
Stay tuned for that, guys. That should be an interesting one. But yes, it's really hard to maintain or for us to control, you know, what happens post-procedure. You know, we give our little sheet of this is what you should avoid, this is what you should do. And, you know, after a while, once you get set in your routine and your daily diet, it's hard to modify that. And most patients don't. And then that's when we run into problems. So to avoid that, we are a little bit more conservative with the filler. And then we tell them to come back like at a month and we can do another syringe. So
yeah, if you're someone who's thinking about doing your under eyes, always start conservatively. And because you can always put in a second syringe, but it's always a drag when you have too much filler and it's kind of bloaty or superficially placed and needs to be dissolved. So
that's where we run into a lot of problems.
Yeah, and we see really patients from all over the country who sometimes fly in and they need to have their under eye filler dissolved. If you're someone who's had bad under eye filler, it typically looks like a shiny blue, kind of a bluish discoloration that shows through under the skin, and we call that the Tyndall effect. And it's typically related to poorly placed under eye filler. So it's kind of sad because we see ladies who've gone in to get under eye filler to get rid of the tired dark look, and then they still have the tired dark look and they're still needing to wear concealer. And I can almost immediately see that bluish coloration under the eyes. And Alex, do you know how long you can have filler stay under your eyes?
Up to a year, right?
Even longer. Like I have taken filler out from under someone's eyes 7 years later. And it's been, and it's always astonishing because we use this great enzyme. It's called hyaluronidase or Hyalinex, and it instantly dissolves that stuff, and people just look like they're reborn. So don't suffer. If you're suffering with that incorrect injection technique, come and see us and we'll fix you right up. And anywhere in the country that filler is injected, they should have some Hyalinex in their office, some of this enzyme for emergency purposes. Yes. And also for, you know, occasionally you'll get a lump or a nodule that just needs to be adjusted. So please, another reason, I sound like a broken record, but see an advanced injector, someone who uses every filler in their portfolio, and someone who has like these safety measures like cannulas and enzymes that dissolve fillers in case of problems.
We don't have that problem.
Correct. That's correct. However, we're fully stocked with a filler crash cart just
we
in case.
We do.
Yes. And just Val's really good about being right on top of that. She's in charge of safety here.
Safety. That's our number one. Safety's paramount here in this office.
Yes. And if you're doing your under eyes, be prepared for like a miracle moment. So when we finish one under eye and we show patients,
a lot of the time it's like, oh my gosh, and tears. And it's like, oh my God. Dr. K starts screaming, no, you're going to get puffy.
Yeah, no tears. Like, literally.
Seriously? Is that serious?
Literally yesterday, this beautiful woman, she just teared up because when you have dark under eyes, sometimes you are just unfortunately born with it. And you've had 25 years of living with looking tired and dark and hollow.
I'm going to bring my sister. She is really, but it's hereditary. My dad has really, my dad's serious.
So for those people, it is life changing and it is such a great technique and it takes all of 10 minutes. It's one little needle stick. You don't feel any pain. It's as easy as my Instagram videos look. Mm-hmm. And
most
literally,
of patients say they just feel pressure.
Looks amazingly good immediately after. So there you have it. That's how we do our under eye filler. And afterwards, expect a little tiny bit of swell here and there for the first couple days as it settles in. But for the most part, it's terrific. One of my favorite fillers, by the way, there is Bellotero. I'm just going to throw that out because absolutely no swelling with Bellotero. So one of the things that you can ask for that gives you almost no complications. I hesitate to say none, but never get complications with Bellotero. Never get puffy, never get swelling, never get nodules. So that's our
I've got a lot of people that say that I love the way it looked. It was something that they did under my eyes last year, and let's do it again.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one.
Soft and just kind of like a
honey
Photoshop.
Consistency. If you were to watch it cascade into the little, I'm trying to paint a picture. It's just a very nice little fill that goes right under your eyes and looks really nice.
Photoshop. I love Photoshop. It. I love it. All right, let's talk Botox. I'm going to talk about a couple creative uses of Botox. You guys have all heard of Botox. It's like the term Kleenex now. Everyone knows what Botox is. It's a wrinkle relaxer. It's like nature's, I would say, one of the top inventions of this century, probably, Botox.
I am very grateful for Botox. Yes.
And not just because of wrinkles, but because of migraines, because of all the different things it does for muscle spasms and many medical conditions, and then, of course, for beauty. So creative uses. So, Alex, what do you know about the lip flip? And you better get it right, you pre-med.
So the lip flip is a great alternative to filler if you're not ready for the filler thing yet. She just puts a few units across the upper lip, and it does this really sexy little pout thing. I've seen a few good results with it, and I'm kind of inspired to try it sometime.
It's kind of cool, right? Awesome. For those of you who have a super thin upper lip that curls inwards when you smile, you can look in the mirror and check that out for yourself. It's going to act
like a genuine smile, though. Not one of those, like,
not a fake smile.
Fake, you know, ones that, like, you take 1,000 of them before you post it on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Like, a genuine smile.
Yeah, look for one where you're spontaneous. And then if your lip curls inward, the Botox will act to stop that muscle activity of curling in. And it gives you about a millimeter or two of outer flare, like a real pretty pouty, nice extra pink show without doing filler. So that's a fun thing. We also do that for lipstick lines, barcode lines.
Yes, I always recommend that to patients who come in and they have those. They're like serious ones that have never been treated.
Yes.
I definitely recommend that
for
patients.
Smokers, people who use a straw too much.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't
I think too much Starbucks sippy cups, personally. I think that leads to
does
those little
it?
crinkly lines. Yeah, let's practice that when we use our Starbucks cups next time. I think there's a whole epidemic of lip lines coming from that.
Right, probably.
And those of you who have lip lines, don't forget to use a really hydrating lip plumper like mine. So that's just come out recently. And Alex was spearheading that whole study that we did. We did a study on my lip plumper. What did it show?
It showed that something like 98% of patients saw greatly improved lip condition. So that was like plumping, volumizing, and then also just general like healthier lips afterwards. More moisturized, smoother, less fine lines and wrinkles. Is really good results.
I loved it. Yeah.
Immediate results and 1 month follow-up long-term results.
Long-term results too.
Yeah. Great stuff. And pretty pink flush of the lips because the niacinamide and nicotinamide in there actually gives you a pink flush, which is like so natural and pretty. Mm-hmm. So that's a cool product to try. So that's a creative use of Botox. I use Botox as well for sweating. For those of you who have underarms.
I think that one's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
I was going to say that one. I mean, I do. I like, we have like a couple patients who come in and get it done because they sweat so much. And they're models. So, you know, you can't be in front of 1,000 cameras and lights and have those little pitch
armpit
sweat.
Soaks.
Yeah. Isn't that cute? But, you know, so they get that done. And I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool. And it's good for palm sweating of the palms and feet. Mm-hmm. And we do numb you before we put little needles across the palm. But those of you who do have hand sweating, it's like so socially debilitating. Like you can't shake someone's hand. You can't touch things. You feel so awkward. So it's really, really curative. And Botox acts to stop the sweat production in those glands. And we even have a couple patients, we do their scalp. Some of them mm-hmm. have like upper lip sweats. And then it's just an awesome all around product for tightening pores. We've done people's noses when they have really large dilated oil producing pores. Mm-hmm. Little micro Botox technique there. And it's amazing at shrinking pore size everywhere. You guys might have seen that on Instagram too. Have you seen the Aqua Gold technique where they fill... They use like a little microneedling system that disperses tiny units of Botox all over to tighten the pores. It's very popular in Europe and Asia right now. And I love that to give like a flawless finish to the face. But of course, you can't use a ton of Botox there. You don't want to be expressionless. So any other creative uses we can think of? Oh, muscle spasm.
The masseter.
Masseter muscles. So masseters are your big chewing muscles of your jaw, and when we Botox those, it slims the face. It helps with TMJ.
Yes.
It helps with bladder spasms. If you have someone who has bladder spasms, it can be injected into the bladder to reduce the muscle contractions there.
Tremors. Have tremors and muscle spasms in their hands and neck and...
Yes, like Parkinson's patients that have mm-hmm. a kind of an uncontrollable hand tremor. There have been some really good studies that show you can knock out those trembling muscles. And voice problems. So as a head and neck surgeon, I do treat patients who have spasmodic dysphonia. And you might not know what that is, but that's where patients talk with a very halting technique. When they are trying to talk, they can't get the words out, just like mm-hmm. that. Very staccato and breaking. And we actually Botox right into their laryngeal muscles, and it stops that. That
sounds like fun.
Amazing. Oh, and eyelid twitching. So blepharospasm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever met someone who's just their eyelids just twitch, and they just feel like a tight, small, heavy eye?
Well, I'm thinking back to now. Like, I remember when I was in, I want to say like the fifth grade, there was this girl who was always blinking, and I was like, oh, maybe it's the sun. But she was always like
giving you the side eye.
And I was like, what is she? I never made, you know, I was polite back then. And I was never like, what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking maybe that's what her deal was.
Probably. And we have patients who've had facial paralysis from Bell's palsy where mm-hmm. the muscles just don't regenerate correctly. And then they twitch up quite a bit. And then we can definitely relax that. So torticollis, like neck, really tight neck muscle bands.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really effective if you have a neck muscle spasm. That's like the whole body, basically, right?
It's an awesome,
whole body Botox.
Awesome medication. Like, I love it. And I obviously, you know, because of my migraines, and I have never said it before, but, like, it really has changed my life. There have been times where I've had headaches for days, mm-hmm. and I'm up in the middle of the night crying. I'm not exaggerating. Like my headaches get really bad. I remember being up one night and I was just crying that I wanted it to stop. And I get it. Like at one point I stopped and I was like, I understand why people in pain, in chronic pain, you know, kill themselves. Mm-hmm. Because that pain is just terrible. Mm-hmm. I get it. I mean, I wasn't going to do it, but I was like, I get it. It is so painful to have migraines that you cannot do anything about. Like my cocktails are a little different than yours. I would have like 800 milligrams of ibuprofen, 1,000 of, you know, acetaminophen, and you know, whatever else they could sprinkle on top of that without doing too much liver damage. But it really has changed my life. And I am grateful for Dr. K for, you know, trying that on me. Because
I'm so glad. And you also look so really fresh.
I stay fresh.
It's crazy because when we do Botox for migraines, patients know to the day that their Botox quit working.
When it starts wearing off.
Yes, because you can tell immediately the headaches come back. And when your Botox is working, I would say it's 95% effective. Mm-hmm. So those of you that are having to take pills and go to emergency rooms and use like Imitrex and all kinds of stuff like that, like come and see us. It's so worth it to not be on medication.
It definitely is.
It really is. Yeah.
There's so many other drinks that I could kill my liver with.
That's right. That's right. And Botox is good for depression, too. Actually, studies have shown that you read that? It was actually on the cover of Time magazine, the bottle of the Botox. So thank you, Allergan Company, as drug of the year, because it's like one of the most impressive drugs that just treating, when you treat someone's face, they look happier and their frown muscles can't activate and therefore they are happier. So depression is improved.
Wow. You're not making any expressions, you're happy.
There you go. And one really cool use is if you want a long swan neck. So actually in other countries they're Botoxing, and here too, I've been doing it here, the trapezius muscles to elongate the neck. So if your shoulders don't start up high with your big trapezius muscle, your neck looks more sleek and long. Isn't that cool? Very
interesting.
Cool.
Very cool. I do know the patient that we do that for. It's really very interesting. She really likes it.
Yeah. Well, next episode, I want to talk about like the differences in other toxins out there, neurotoxins like Dysport and Xeomin, one of my favorites, because you guys are inundated by Botox and the Allergan Company and all their advertising, but there are other options out there, and I want you to know about all the drugs coming in the pipeline, like longer lasting versions of Botox and more pure versions of Botox like Xeomin that don't have a lot of proteins in them, so they last longer in you. So that's coming up next. And what do you got to say, Alex?
Thank you for listening.
That's right. All you med school directors out there, we need a spot for this girl.
Help me out.
And thank you for tuning in, you guys. It's always so fun to talk to you and share our knowledge and give you the inside scoop behind what happens in our plastic surgery practice here in beautiful Los Angeles, California. And I hope you'll subscribe and rate our podcast and join me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K. We also have a great website, which Alex has helped put together. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah.
At www.beautybydrky.com. And please send me some questions so I can answer them on a future podcast. We would love that. And thank you so much.
Drop topics that you'd like to go over, things you don't understand. Maybe we can...
Questions for Nurse Val and specifically about the Navy.
Oh, well, that'll be fun. You get what you put in. I mean, that's just life.
That's life. That's a good concluding remark. You get what you put in, putting good products in your body and good skincare for your face.
Healthy foods into your body.
Tune in next time to learn more about the science of beautiful, sexy skin at every age. And that's a wrap.